position that that's
an unpopular position
anymore. I think most.
Well, I think the unpopular position specifically, like, it's become the idea that, like, we're radicalizing people over there by bombing them might not necessarily be unpopular anymore, and is, like, something that a lot of people agree with. But the idea that overthrowing secular governments and replacing them with Islamic fundamentalists is still something that nobody wants to admit for some reason. Because we're still doing it. I mean, that's what we did. That's what we tried to do in Syria. It's what we did in Libya. It's what we did in Afghanistan. I mean, that, and yes, like, there are, like, that's not, and that's not what they mean when they talk about Yemen breeding terror, because of what we're doing in Yemen, we're breeding terrorism. That's not exactly the same thing as saying that we keep overthrowing secular governments and replacing them with religious extremists.
That is true.
So actually, maybe that's what they're taking issue with. And I imagine it might be, in fact, now that I think about it even more. But sorry, not to ruin your argument.
No. I think that you raise a really good point. So that's obviously a despicable way of remembering Bill Bloom. We think we did it better. There are other places, obviously Counterpunch, where he was publishing. They've put up a couple pretty good tributes to him. He apparently did.
What, it's a rough year, man. Robert Perry and like just the kind of people that we've lost. But yeah.
But you know, he did continue to do his work, even though he was in failing health. I do think it's admirable that he did fight through a lot of what he was going through. You know, he's 85 when he died. That's pretty old to still be going around and doing speaking engagements and
like writing updating daily. Your blog regularly. Yeah.
Yeah. And even so, like, he was on dialysis and had problems, which can be really taxing, and he still kept it up. And I think only since September had he really been out of commission and not, had people not been hearing from him regularly, so they knew he was in severe health. So, I mean, man, really, like, fuck the New York Times.
Yeah, fuck the New York Times. Last time it was CNN.
Yeah.
This time it's the New York Times and Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just had to throw that in there. Fuck Paul Ryan. Which is actually a good segue for what you wanted to talk about next.
Yes, she's just spontaneously saying that, and people might not know why we were...
They're like, yeah, sure, I'll agree with that, but, like, why specifically right now?
Because I'm always down for fuck Paul Ryan chants, but, you know, can you tell me what it is today? Like, what did he do today?
Well, for his last cowardly piece of shit act in Congress, Paul Ryan wants to make sure that we continue starving Yemeni babies. In case there was, like, a part of you that maybe still full for... that for some odd, strange reason didn't completely hate Paul Ryan. Like, he just wanted to make sure that he got rid of that last little shred of doubt that you should hate him.
Yeah. All right, so we'll start with the negative, and then we'll end on a more positive note about the Yemen vote in the Senate, which did pass. The Yemen War Powers Resolution in the Senate did go through all of the procedural votes that it had to. It survived amendments, and it passed. The thing that unfortunately we have to focus on is what piece of shit Paul Ryan decided to do with the help of the GOP and the votes of about 5 Democrats in the House. So here, to catch you all up, there's been, and we've talked about it on this show, but there's been this War Powers Resolution under the War Powers Act of 1973. Basically, is Congress, it's its way of asserting that we never declared war in Yemen. You're not authorized to engage in military operations. And so they're basically telling the Trump administration that the U.S. should withdraw troops. Now, is it mostly symbolic? I don't know. I mean, they're saying that we believe you're violating the law and we don't support that you're using U.S. military in this conflict. So I do think that that matters. But anyways, let's put that aside for a moment. Paul Ryan decided that he didn't want this vote to happen in the House. He knew it was happening in the Senate, but he realized that there was a way that they could stop it in the House. And so they put in a rule that was attached to the farm bill. Now, this is the agricultural farm bill. This has nothing to do with war. This is what makes it even more obnoxious. So he put in there language that said that there will be, that during the remainder of this session of Congress, there will be no votes on any concurrent resolutions introduced with respect to Yemen. No votes whatsoever on war powers resolutions that involve Yemen. So he put a whole wholesale bar on any business and brought it to a screeching halt. Representative Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie, who's a Republican, have been leading the process in Congress. And basically, not only did he get this language into the farm bill, which has nothing to do with war, but he also got it so that they basically gave up their authority they were basically forfeiting their constitutional authority, which is kind of alarming. I mean, they're basically saying, as I'm downplaying it, so to speak, but you know, they're basically saying that, like, you know, from this time to this time, you can do whatever you want in Yemen, Donald Trump. We don't care. We're not going to fight you over it.
And we're even gonna take away our own ability to fight you.
Yeah, even though
we
have power under the Constitution, we're gonna say that we're not gonna.
We're gonna cancel that out.
We're canceled. The Constitution is canceled.
People are still fucking authoritarian.
And so
the
names of the Democrats who did this: Jim Costa, Representative Al Lawson, Representative Colin Peterson, Representative Dutch Ruppersberger, and Representative David Scott were the five votes. They voted for this rule, and because the rule passed by a narrow vote, 206 to 203, Rania, the Democrats basically put them up over, and so now it was in there. So, like, the Democrats got wise to what the GOP was trying to do, and it seemed like they were going to force the GOP to put forward a different rule that had nothing to do, you know, like, was normal. What you would expect in a farm bill.
No, it did, like, weird war thing hidden in it.
Oh, by the way, this wasn't the first time that they did this. Back in November, they put a one line that was actually less, that it was more restricted. Like, this one covers all resolutions on Yemen, but back then it just referred to what was moving already. And they put it in a bill that involved managing wolf populations.
That no one reads. I mean, yeah, there's lots of. So let me ask you something. With these five Democrats, like, did they ever get questioned about
this?
Like,
here.
Did they not know? Did they know and not care?
Okay, here you go. You're going to like this. So one of the guys, his name's Colin Peterson, he was asked about his vote.
I saw this.
Can you explain your vote on the Yemen resolution? Peterson, it didn't belong in there. Why not? Couldn't you just have come back and done another vote? And he said, no, we worked for 2 years on this farm bill, and I'll be damned if I let anybody screw it up. Do you have any thoughts about the war in Yemen? Peterson, I don't know a damn thing about it. And it should be in there, and it didn't do anything anyway. All right, so he sounds like a stark raving madman. And
wait, where is this guy representative from? I'm sorry, like, what state? I'm going to judge the whole state based on what you tell me.
Let me pull him up. Should only take just a minute.
I just want to know which state to think is stupid.
I believe he's from, sadly, Minnesota.
Sadly? Fuck Minnesota. I'm sorry. Sorry if any listeners are listening from Minnesota. Well, you guys shouldn't have elected this man. Wow.
This is an opening for another Bernie-crat. You need to step up.
I think we just lost all our Minnesota listeners. I may have offended them, but...
No, I mean, I'm saying that, like, he needs to be targeted. I mean, obviously, he sounds...
What a jackass! He's damned!
And then they said...
Damned if some starving children are gonna spoil my bill!
So he goes, what do you mean by that, Peterson? All it did was say they couldn't have a vote or something. Didn't authorize anything. It didn't, you know, our party gets off on tangents. It's ridiculous.
Oh my God.
He sounds insane.
Wow. He does. He just sounds like a cranky old man.
Just like, and he obviously has no idea what is going on in the Yemen war, which is so sad.
He's like, what's a Yemen?
Can you farm it? Can you grow it on your...
Is that why it was in the farm bill?
Can I eat it?
Can I eat a Yemen? Can I grow a Yemen?
Ugh.
Oh my God.
But
that is just sad, man. Wow. Oh, maybe democracy is stupid. I'm just like, why is this man in a position of power?
But, wow. In the Senate, just to very briefly cover this before we end our show, they did pass. And I think both of us agree that is, on the whole, a pretty positive development. And I think that if you trace the way in which there was bipartisan opposition to any action by Bernie Sanders and Senator Mike Lee on bringing forward this war powers resolution to today, how it's actually shifted entirely. You basically had a 20-vote swing almost. You've gone from 60-40 against to 60-44 passing resolutions against the Yemen war. And to challenging Saudi Arabia. And a lot of it has to do with Khashoggi, the murder of the journalist.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think a significant, I mean, don't grant it, like Bernie Sanders and Mike Lee and Chris Murphy have been pushing for this for quite some time now. And they definitely deserve credit, absolutely. But I will say, like, Jamal Khashoggi, like, his murder definitely swung a lot of those votes. Like, and it does speak to a certain, like, it's good what happened, but it does speak to a certain, like, it's sad that a man-made famine, that starving babies, which we've had pictures of since 2014, by the way, 2015, starving babies weren't enough in 2014. They weren't enough in 2015. They weren't enough in 2016 or 2017. They weren't even enough in 2018 until the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. So, I mean, think about that. It's something that's definitely to reflect on. But that said, like, it's very, very, very good and important what happened, and it's pretty historic.
Both Chris Murphy and Mike Lee actually said what you just said, too, by the way. Because
did they?
Yeah, they said, you know, obviously Khashoggi's life is valuable, but weren't the lives of people who were dying, you know, 5 or 6 months ago, weren't they just as valuable? Didn't they deserve us mobilizing to help them when we knew what was going on? And
the sad answer to that is no, they didn't. Like,
not to Congress, yeah.
Not obviously. To Congress, exactly. Not to Congress. And that's really, like, that's pretty damning. But that said,
nonetheless,
you know,
looking forward, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Going forward, Saudi Arabia faces a lot of opposition. I think even though there was a defeat for this resolution, because ultimately it is highly, highly unlikely. I mean, I'll celebrate it with everybody else if we wrap the show and for some reason in the next few days we find that the House found some way to get this to the floor and vote on it. But I think it's a mess, just because not only even if they were allowed to do it, you know, so they could try to vote on it. But I think it's just hard because it's stupid fucking parliamentary politics that, like, the thing that the House is voting on is actually different from what the Senate's voting on. And I just don't think they have enough time. So basically, the whole process failed, as it's continued to. It failed all Yemenis who were hoping that people would stand up for them. Now,
on the there is also the ceasefire, though. I just want to throw that out there. Yeah,
you can give an update on that. Go ahead.
Well, it's just there was ceasefire talks. Was it in Geneva?
I think they're happening in Sweden.
In Sweden, okay, sorry, somewhere in Scandinavian area, somewhere up north, there were peace talks and between the warring parties, and they actually came to some sort of ceasefire agreement. I'm actually not sure about the specifics, but I know it was covered heavily in the news yesterday, and that's a positive development as well.
I have it in front of me. It involved the Hodeida, which is the really critical port city for getting any kind of humanitarian aid in from, like, the Red Cross or any other groups that are helping people enduring